Bible, we'll go ahead and do our scripture reading. How about that? Some of y'all look like you need to conserve your energy. Looking a little peaked already. Y'all know what peaked is? Look around. Some of you look a little peaked. There's been a lot of sickness going around. Brother Grant and Karen still sick. Pray for them. Just learned that Brother David and Connie both have the flu now. It's going around. If you've had the flu or know somebody's had the flu, raise your hand. Look here. Whew, it's been bad. But anyway, we've got a lot of things going on around the church house. Thank the Lord for the great youth event we had yesterday. To see the young people respond the way they did was a blessing. Just continue praying for this generation for Christ, because that was the theme of the meeting yesterday. And the young people that responded, I'm trusting, I'm praying for you young people. I have you in my prayers and in my interest. I want you to succeed. Brother Jody Phillips always says something. And Brother Jody, where are you at, son? Brother Jody, get mad and leave. He's over here today. Brother Jody's always saying, what kind of a life could he have had he been in tune with the Lord Jesus Christ at some of your young age? Brother Jody, I feel the same way. What if we had been sold out at 10, 12, 13, 15, 17, you know? I'm telling you what a blessing it is, though. You young people keep going for God. The message today is the How Long Love Song. And you'll see that in the book of Psalms, chapter number 13, with the Lord's help today, the How Long Love Song. And I know some of you have been waiting on things for some time, and I'm seeing things come to pass for you. Am I roaring? I feel like I'm roaring. Who's up there today? Jesse? Jesse, one of these, something needs to, there you go. Work on me a little bit. Mute me if you need to. Jesse, but anyway, the How Long Love Song is something that I can't put in your heart. Only the Lord can do that, because you know what you've been praying for. You know what you've been waiting on. You know the expectancy of some event, something that you've got going on in your life. For most of us that are already saved, it involves the Lord's will. It really does. You might have been praying for a pregnancy. And you've waited and you've waited and you've waited and you've waited, and it just doesn't seem to come to pass for you. But sometimes during the wait, God does some miraculous things. And I don't even know if Dane and Melanie are here. Are they here today? They're not even here today. They're babysitting today. They've got. But I want to use them just for a second. They want a child of their own. But while they were waiting, and while they're waiting, and while they were praying, look what happens. God introduced into their lives Valak and Sebastian. You don't always understand what's going on during the wait. You really don't. I don't understand what's going on during the wait. But as we look into this scripture today in the 13th division, the song, it's just a how long love song. I mean, how much does God love us? And how long will He be before He comes back to claim His bride? But do we just give up? Do we just stop doing anything until He comes back and say, well, He's coming and I'm going, so that's the way we're at right now, and I'll just sit here and do nothing until He gets here. No, we're supposed to keep occupying. We're supposed to keep working and doing until He gets here. So when it's not just a pregnancy, some are waiting on different things of great measure. You're waiting on test results. You're waiting on this expectation and that expectation. Some of you are waiting on a spouse. You're waiting on a life's mate to share life with. Let me tell you, keep waiting, keep praying, and keep seeking God. Even as we saw in the message today, God's providential design and His protection and His care, it's still there. Now listen, and you read the story, and you weren't here in Sunday school, you won't know exactly where I'm going, but in the story where Vashti was removed as queen, Vashti refused the orders of the king, but did she really do anything wrong? Did Vashti do anything wrong? There she is. She's removed from being the queen. Let me tell you, that was all God doing that. That was God's providence. And if God has to move something out of your way or out of the way to get His plan perfected in your life, then so be it. God is still God, and He can do that. He can remove obstacles. He can remove hindrances. And that's just the way God works. But I want you to understand, and I will bring this up again, but the Bible said that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So I'm telling you, waiting is not an easy thing. I'm waiting myself on something. I have been earnest in my prayer. And there was a time when I finally just laid it over to God. And I said, God, it's yours. I'm willing, Lord, just make this thing happen. And in the wait time and in that interim time, it's difficult. And I'm not saying that your wait is not a trying of your patience. But what does the Bible say that patience is born out of? Tribulation. Wherever my help's at from the back, the Bible said that tribulations worketh unto patience. And sometimes we have to go through a certain amount of travail. Look at a woman. Miss Catherine, I can't imagine. You're what, about seven months now? 7 months. Does a woman not wait? And sometimes even in travail? I mean, your mother's a labor nurse. Do you not then see people, Miss Tammy? They are in travail. They're in pain. And the birth of child. God designed it that way. You take it up with God. But through pain of delivery. But is it not worth the wait? After that 9 long months of the incubation process of that baby that's being formed inside of your womb right now, is it not worth the wait whenever that baby then, Brother Tam, is born through the birth canal of life and it's laid on that mother's tummy? Is that not then worth the wait? The Bible said they forget the pain they went through whenever they see that child. It's in the Scriptures. I'm going to read our Scriptures, and I'm just going to read those. There's only 6 verses. In the 13th chapter. I'm just going to read all 6 of them. We've got a dedication today. Good to have some of the Blackburn family and the Miss Laura's family. Where's Miss Laura? Did she decide not to be part of the dedication? She had a part in getting Bryson here. So, but we've got a dedication at the end of the service. They're wanting to give little Bryson back into the Lord. And it's work for the other two. They're coming up. And I'm telling you what, we've got some great kids around here. I'm telling you, we really do. They come up and hug me. And I don't know, is Caden here? I can't see who all's here today. Is Caden here? I walked in the restaurant down there. Hey, buddy, come here and give me a hug. I walked in the restaurant down at Moravian Falls at the Grill. And all of a sudden, it's like I'm a celebrity. Seriously. The kids, it was Brooklyn and Caden over in the corner. Preacher Mark, Preacher Mark, Preacher Mark. And they started reaching for me, wanting to hug me. I felt like a celebrity. They love their pastor, but their pastor loves them. And in turn, I'm telling you what, folks, we are blessed around here. Some of you are still waiting. Some of you are still in travail. Some of you are still undergoing some things, some pain, some heartache. Let me tell you, God's not forgot you. You're going to see that word here that the Lord has forgotten. David feels like the Lord's totally forgotten him. And his face is hid from him. And David's in a position here. Now listen, we don't know where David's at. Let's just read the Scripture, and I'll get into that in just a minute. I'll preach the whole message and let you stand the whole time if we want to. Verse number 1 of the 13th chapter of the book of Psalm. You found your place, amen. The How Long Love Song goes like this. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? 4 different times. 4 different times already within 2 verses, we hear that question. How long? You may be saying right now, how long? How long? I'm telling you what, whenever I was engaged to Miss Cindy and I'd gone out west while I was in the military, damn, that was the longest time. I'd left and went into basic training and had my tech school, and I came home. And during that brief 2-week intermit between my permanent duty assignment and my training, I gave her a ring. And when I gave her that diamond ring, as small as it was, that began some great, great, great journey. But, Tam, I could not wait to get back here. We even, if you'll go back, and I've not preached that message yet. God's gave me a message about an old love letter, and I'm going to preach it one of these days. But even in those letters, even in those love letters between my wife and myself, we toyed around with the date, did we not, dear? She set it out way out in the distance, and we were going to wait until I got out of the service. We were going to wait, and you said, well, bless God, what would you have done? I'd have married her sooner. You said, well, how old was she? I was 19. I'd have married her at 13 if somebody had signed the papers.
You said, really, I knew her then, and I didn't know she was the one, but bless God, I trust and believe that at 19, God knew what he was doing. And I'd hate for somebody standing in the way of me and her, but Tim, it was a long wait. She put it out to April of the next year. We were engaged in May, but she went out almost a full year. And that was hard. It was hard waiting. We talked about, let's just do a Christmas wedding. Let's do this. And it was a hard period of waiting. Waiting is not easy for any of us. If you say that waiting's easy, then tell me the secret. You say, well, I just trust the Lord. Well, I do too. But are you better than David? David is a man after God's own heart. Did he not have trouble? Look what it says. Verse number 3. Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him. And those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. The whole scene changes right here in verse number 5. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Brother Lewis Johnson, ask God to bless us, my friend. Amen. How many of you, and I don't know if it's as easily done here as it was whenever I was in South Dakota, but in South Dakota, if you know much about that land out there, I mean, you can see for miles and miles and miles, and you can see across the plains, and a lot of times you'll see the rain coming. And it may not be that way here, but I think you've seen a storm coming. What do you do when you see the storm cloud brewing? You say, well, I start preparing. I start bringing in things, doing the things I've got to do. But still, you've got to do one other thing. You've got to wait on it. You know it's coming, but you can't really do anything but just try to do the best you can preparing. Miss Catherine, you've got a baby coming. There's no doubt in my mind you probably prepared a nursery, am I right? I mean, and your mom has probably bought about, 6,000 garments, and y'all are preparing. You know, you're doing the things to make your house ready for a child to come into the home. Whenever Cindy and I, and whether you know this or not, I'll probably give up some secrets here, but Cindy and I were foster parents, and over time we had 5 different children that come to live in our home. And you don't just go out and say, okay, we're going to bring babies in. No, we went through a process of training. We had to go through the MAP classes, and we went through the MAP classes. Then we had people come to the house, and Brother Calvin, they were looking at the locks on the doors. I had double key tumblers, Brother Tim, whatever you call that. We had to lock it from a key on the inside and on a key from the outside, because it was right beside of a glass panel. Anybody wants to break into my house, Brother James, they go smash the glass out and undo the deadbolt and come right in. So it was keyed both ways. So they come in, they said, you got to take that lock out. You got to do this. Y'all have got a medicine cabinet full of medicine. You got to take that medicine out of there, and you got to put that in a lock box and put a lock on that. You got a lot of things. We had to do a lot of things to get ready for that child to come. So while we were waiting for our first child to come, we were doing something while we were waiting. Am I right or wrong? In this passage of scripture, this question is asked 4 different times, how long? And listen, I can't answer your question, but let me tell you this, you ought to be waiting and you ought to be expecting. If you're praying and waiting on one thing, then you ought to be praying in earnest in that prayer for whatever it is, Brother Derwin, that you're waiting on and that you're praying for. Let me just ask you this question. Brother James, right now, your daughter has just got her driver's license. Yeah, step up to the plate. Ella's now behind the wheel. She's 16 years old, and she has borrowed Lori's minivan, and there she goes. And she's now tore out down the road. She's got 5 of her buddies in the back. They're going down to Blippi's for a sub, and they're supposed to be home at 9 o'clock straight. What happens at 11 o'clock whenever you've not heard? There's no phone calls. There's no text. What's going on?
9:02.
At 9:02, he's already wondering. How about at 10:02? And she, you told Miss Ella, you get your friends back to their place by whatever, and you get back here by 9 o'clock. Do you hear me, young lady? And don't you roll your eyes at me, because I can hear them. I heard your eyes roll. Don't do that. Do you understand where I'm coming from? I don't mean 9:01. Do you think for a moment of time, my friends, do you think for a moment of time, whenever the trooper's car, that black and gray, pulls in their driveway, Do you think for one moment of time when it's 11 o'clock, she was supposed to be there at 9, do you think that they're going to have to go up and start beating on the door and knocking on the door and arouse them or awake them from their sleep? Then why? Because they are expecting, because they are waiting. They are prayerful in their wait that this child gets back home and gets back home safely. There is no, when you see the black and gray pull up, I guarantee you James and Lori Burgess are not sleeping. Why? Because they are anticipatory, because that youngin is supposed to be back here and she's not. What I'm saying is they're expecting that what they're waiting for is going to come to pass. And when it doesn't come to pass, it starts all kinds of emotions. It starts all kinds of problems. And you're going to see that as I try to preach today. And it starts right out in this passage of scripture with David. Listen, we don't know what David's in this context. I tried my best. I went to Spurgeon's helps. I went to Phillips' helps. I went to Lockyer's helps. I went to all these different places to find out what was going on in David's life that birthed this psalm. I wanted to know, Brother Tim, in context, what caused David such anxiety? What caused him such an anguish of soul? What caused him to be in this shape that he's in? And I can't find anything. The only thing I can say is this, Brother James. God put it there. That's all that I need to know. He gave it to me to preach today to you folks. And I'm just going to tell you this, that whatever was going on, whether David was remembering his sin, you said, what do you mean remembering his sin? He committed sin with Bathsheba. And maybe he was remembering that sin. Maybe he was running from Saul. I don't know. Maybe Saul was trying to kill him. Maybe he was remembering the son that had died. You say, what was that? That was because he remembered the sin. The sin committed with Bathsheba bore a child. The child died. Maybe he was remembering that son. Maybe he was repenting of the sin that he had done and just remorseful about that. Or maybe, Ryan, like I said, maybe he's still running from Saul. Saul said, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him. Whatever it was that caused David to write this, this psalm was birthed into the heart of David, and he wrote these words four different times. He said, how long will thou forget me? Then he said, forever. How long will you hide your face from me? And then he said, how long shall I take counsel? And then he said, how long shall my enemy be exalted? David is in a problem place right now. And sometimes, my friends, we get there. You don't think that when Jax doesn't come home, you're going to be waiting. You don't think that whenever the problems of life come, there are going to be some problems that bring anxiety and that bring anguish into your heart. You go get a heart test done and you're waiting for that test to come back. There's a problem right there. Why? Because now you got to wait whenever they do a biopsy of a man's prostate. And they don't walk right back in and say, okay, Mr. Hall, everything's good to go. No, Brother John, they send that off for a sampling. And then they have biologists and chemists that put chemicals together and they go through a period of testing to come back finally in a few days to relieve you of your angst. I try to relieve you of any kind of anxiety or angst that you got in your life. They come back and say, brother, you're good to go. Or you got to do this. You want the answer. One way or the other, you want the answer. So here we are. We're in the book of Psalm, chapter number 13. I just want to help us today with the Lord is my help. And Miss Lori and Brother James, don't go there. She's just a young lady almost ready to get her license. I think are you already driving? You're not even doing the driver's training? Good, don't. It's not as fun as it one time was. I used to love to drive. Now, I just seem riding the bed of the pickup and let Cindy drive. Well, not really, but anyway. I don't know what was going on in David's life that caused him to ask these questions or to pin this psalm down. But I'm not really sure that we need to know what was going on, because it was just meant for us here today. For this moment, for this crowd, for me and for you. So how do y'all do during wait? I'm just asking you, how do you do during wait? Is it tough, Brother Tim? Is it okay? You're all right? Hard, ain't it? It is hard. I know of a church up the road not too far. They've been waiting for a pastor. You said, do they want a pastor? That's between them and God. But they've been waiting for a pastor for around 3 years. Now, I don't know if they want one. You go that long, I don't know if you really want a pastor. But I'm telling you what, if you're one of them in the congregation, I don't care if you're one or 100 out of the congregation that wants a pastor, I'm telling you, that's a long wait. It's a hard wait. It's a long time to be in a church situation, in a spiritual environment, and not have a leader, somebody that you can go to and call out unto. You say, we can go to God. We don't need a pastor. Every creature needs a preacher. And every church should have a local pastor. But can you imagine the wait for those folks that's waiting by the time? Can you imagine your dad has now resigned and 2, 3, 4 years later, still no direction, still no guide, still no man in the pulpit? That would be hard. So it doesn't have to be health. It doesn't have to be, it can be anything in your life that's causing you right now to go through a period of waiting. Generally, we don't do well with waiting. But I've asked Miss Catherine, isn't the wait worth it? Isn't it worth it? I think that it is. I don't know why I'm going through all this, but when I resigned Mountain Valley, it was on the very first Sunday of the first Sunday in the year of 2008. The same day Brother Feldman stepped down over here. I went back to my home church because that's where I go. Church called me for revival. I went and did a revival. They didn't have a pastor. At the end of that, Brother Tam, they said, well, would you consider being a pastor? I said, I have a pastor's heart. I want a pastor, but I don't feel like I'm the man for your church. Brother Tam, you know what happened? Three times, three churches. I can name you the churches. Asked me, would you consider pastoring here? Now you said, well, if you had a pastor's heart, why didn't you jump on one of them chances to pastor? Because I was in a waiting mode. And I wasn't supposed to be their pastor. And if I took that pastor, I would have hurt those people. They would have hurt me. You would have hurt. Because why? Because I wasn't supposed to be there. But I'm telling you what, Brother Tim, I didn't hear nothing from Calvary. Whole month of January, didn't hear nothing. Whole month of February, didn't hear nothing. Went into March, didn't hear anything. Run into Brother Robbie and Miss Beth below at Lowe's. And they said that Brother Feldman had left. I said, really? Next thing I know, we kept waiting and waiting. And then the phone rang. And it was like, wow, the wait is over. You said, what's that all about? It's not easy waiting. It's not. Let's look into the scripture here. Someone waiting on something is going to have to stay prayed up, because if you don't stay prayed up, you're going to have even harder time with what David was dealing with. The first thing that I will look at here is such anxiety, or the painful apprehension within David's heart whenever he's crying out. He said, how long will you forget me? Lord, how long will you do that forever? And how long will you hide your face from me? The question that David has put before God, he's asking this question, Lord, with his anxiety that I'm dealing with, and with this despair that I'm in right now, Lord, am I going to have to go through this for any period of time? What's going to happen in my life, Lord? Is it going to be deep depression beyond the despair? Am I going to dig myself so deep that I can't get out of it? Let me tell you right now, my friends, I preached one message in all of my ministry about suicide, but I'm telling you, suicide is among us. It's running rampant, and I'm telling you what, it is birthed out of the things that I'm preaching about today, out of deep anxiety. Satan says there's no use for you to live anymore. Like I said, it could have been David lamenting his sin with Bathsheba. He could have been running from Saul. It could have been whatever it was that he was doing. But it would have been very easy for him to get down and discouraged, as it was other men of God. Whenever Elijah had just called the fire down from heaven on high, Brother Tam, we saw the prophets of Baal slain. Where do we find him in the very latter part? Brother Tim, he's over here hiding. He's hid out. Why? Because the word came back to him that Jezebel was going to have his head. She was going to kill him. And he said, I am the only one left. And Brother John, because of that deep anxiety, just waiting on his next assignment from God, he said, I'm just out here by myself, and I would to God I just die. How many times have you seen people like that all through the scriptures? Over and over and over. Let me tell you, don't let anxiety, depression, despair, don't let those things take you to a place that you don't need to go. The Lord is your remedy. The Lord is your helper. David cries out here through his, he even sees the despair. He says, where's God at? You might be saying that right now. Where is God at? I thought that he was omnipresent. I thought that he was everywhere. He is. Even when you don't see him, he's there. Even when you can't feel him, he's there. Even whenever you can't relate, brother, he's there. I promise you, he has not changed his position. He is there. David said, Lord, where are you? How long am I going to have to stay in this position that I'm in? Is it going to be forever? It doesn't last forever. It will not last forever. It's never lasted forever. David said, Lord, how long? He says it, how long? Two times in chapter number 13, verse number 1. He says it two times in 13, chapter number 2. How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted above me? Listen, it's not just depression. It's not despair. It's not just the things that I'm preaching about. But David said, I even feel like I'm in defeat. He said, my enemies, read the latter part of verse number 2. He said, my enemies are above me. Brother John, you ever feel like that? How long? How long do you wait for a loved one to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus? How long do you wait for a wayward child to come back to the house? How long do you wait on the things that you pray for? Do you just finally get mad and give up and just throw in the towel? I hope that you won't. I hope that you don't. I hope this message is helping somebody. Y'all are staring at me today like I've done something wrong. Let me tell you, I'm trying to help you. I'm honestly, I've seen some of you in anxiety. You know what anxiety does? Anxiety can't sit still. Anxiety's everywhere. I'll show you anxiety for about 5 years when the Lord was dealing with this heart to preach. I'd been everywhere, Brother Tim. I'd worked in Elkin, the Mount Airy, Wilkesboro, Yankeeville, Taylorsville, Boonville, Jonesville, Elk. I'd been everywhere. My house was for sale. The former pastor of Thanks to Calvary Baptist Church come and looked at my house because we were going to sell and we were going to do this, we were going to do that. Brother, we were everywhere doing everything. I was in such turmoil, Brother Tim. I lost 30 pounds, didn't even try to lose it really. It was just, we were in anxiety. Why? She knew what was going on. She knew God was dealing with my heart to preach His word. Brother Tim, I was in some anxiety. You said, what are you waiting on? I guess I was just waiting on God. Because when them girls sang yesterday up here, they sang, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. That was the song that Miss Macy, just a little girl, sat at the piano and sang. I left about where she's sitting now. I stood up, Brian. I wish you were there. Brother Alan Freeman, Miss Wanda was there. Brother Danny was there. Miss Mary, several of them. I stood up just to say, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. I've got a roof up above me. I've got shoes on my feet. And when I stood up, do you know what come out of my mouth, Brother James? I stood up and said, I'm going to preach. It scared me to death, honestly, Tim. If you had asked me before I left the house that night, are you going to announce you're called to preach tonight? I said, are you crazy? Are you smoking something? Let me in on what you're dealing in, because I need some of that to help me with this anxiety. But no, anxiety was, Brother Tim, I stood up and it popped. Ain't that about the way it come out? I stood up and said, I'm going to preach. I just fell on the altar. What else is a man to do? My pastor come up, Brother Don Myers, Pastor Mount Pisgah, started squalling and screaming and shouting. Brother Jack come up there in his humble little heart. He come down and got right down there right in my face. And he said, what'd you just say? What is it? What is it that you're going to do? I said, Brother Jack, I don't think there's anything I can do except preach. He gets right up. He leaves the side of the pulpit about right over here and comes up and says, don't turn this on. He just, y'all come back Sunday because Brother Mark's going to be preaching. That's what he said. He said, y'all come back Sunday because Brother Mark's going to be preaching. Scared me to death. But there was a certain amount of anxiety that was going on in my soul, Brother Tim. This is beyond waiting on a test. This is waiting on God. And God had already confirmed it in my heart, but He's trying now to get my flesh to yield to the spiritual. And that weight was awful, Brother Tim. But then whenever it finally came, man, we've lived a blessed life. God has just so blessed us. I could have simply did like David and said, how long, Lord, can I run? How long can I run? I tell you, you'll run as long as God will let you run. But it's not just anxiety. If you'll look below that in verses number 3 and 4, David says, consider and hear me, O Lord, lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. You said, what's that about? He said, lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. It moves from anxiety into a deep mental and spiritual anguish of soul. Because listen, anxiety is fidgety. Anxiety can't stand still. Anxiety is running to and fro. But brother, anxiety and anxiousness, it will soon yield over to a mental and a spiritual anguish that you'll do like David did. He was anxious for the son that the Lord had taken, brother Tam, and he anxiously prayed all the night long. But his anxiety and his anxious nature, did it not soon turn into and assuage right over to anguish? Because then he gets down in sackcloth and ashes, and he just prays and he prays, but he comes to this deep mental and spiritual anguish to say this. He says, I cannot bring that baby back. So what did he say? I shall go to him. See, the anxiety that you're in right now, it'll soon yield over if it's not contended with and not dealt with. It will soon turn from anxiety into a deep anguish. And the next thing you know, you're in a worse shape than the anxiety. Anxiety bites its nails. Anxiety's fidgety. Anxiety just can't hardly sit still, Brother Gary. But anguish, misery, it'll get down there into a deep spiritual depression, and it'll lay there, and it'll languish in that anguish, and it'll stay there, Brother Varun, until something comes along to help him out of his despair. David's here in that third verse, and look what it says. I'm going to read 3 and 4. He said, consider and hear me. Oh, Lord, my God. He said, would you lighten mine eyes? What's he saying when he says lighten mine eyes? He said, Lord, let me see. Help me to see what's going on. Help me to have a little understanding, Lord, about what I'm going through in this right now. Lord, just help me. Enlighten mine eyes. I'm praying, Lord, help me here. That's what David's saying. Lord, enlighten mine eyes. Help me to have some understanding of my calamity. Help me to have some understanding of what's going on. He said, help me. Oh, Lord, hear me. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemies say I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. Listen, if they are your friends, if they are your family members, if they love you, they will be praying for you. The latter part of that, it says that I have, where am I at, Brother Tim? Right here. He said, lest mine enemies say I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice. Nobody's rejoicing in your calamity. Not if they truly love you. If they truly have your best interest at heart, they're not rejoicing. Or your enemies may rejoice. Your enemies may be that way. Some, and I don't mean many, thank God, would love for this pastor to fall. There were some that would love to see my family tore apart. There's some, Brother Tan, that would love to see this church just razed and took off the side of the road. There's some that would not like us taking a stand that we take on some of the issues that we have to stand against, Brother Tim. They don't like that. Why do you think that there's a direct attack upon the Ten Commandments or those things that are moral and upright at heart? They don't like it because it confronts them and their sin. And they don't like that. But that verse that David cries out, he said, Lord, would you help me? He goes into that next, the fifth verse, and he said, the latter part of number four, he said, lest mine enemies say I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. I told you about the anguish. I told you about the anxiety. We're almost done. Y'all just stay with me here. But do you not see it? In verse number 5, something changes here. What happens in verse number 5? David's heart is so moved. He starts out, who is he talking to? He's talking to God. He said, how long, O Lord? 4 times he says, how long, O Lord? How long, O Lord? He keeps asking those questions. But in verse number 5, he says, but I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. He changes from the anxiety, the fidgety nature, the can't sit still, the turmoil, the hard stuff. He moves beyond the anguish. And there's anguish. Sandra, I thought about you just recently, honey. You went through some anguish when you lost your mama. Honey, that's deep, is it not? Is that not a deep hurt? Anybody that's ever lost a family member, Ryan, I didn't know that. I saw his mama pass. I saw many people and his loved ones pass. And I tried to be there with them. And I tried to console them. I tried to be there when your sister passed. Or I tried to be there. But until my own mama passed last year, I really didn't know the anguish. I didn't. I'm honest with you. I just didn't realize that deep anxiety that then kind of turns into anguish. But we move from anxiety and we move from that anguish to the Almighty. I want you to see it. It's right there in verse number 5 and 6. David said, but I trusted. Here's what he said. He said, but I trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. He said, I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. The last word in verse number 5 is salvation. I got to park there for just a minute. If you don't have the salvation of the Lord, then you, my friend, are lost. Last night when I went to bed with 5 pages of notes that I myself had scribbled out of Psalm chapter number 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. For his delight is in the law of the Lord. He shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water that bear forth fruit. See, I went to bed with that, Brother Tim. I went to bed last night. There was 3 verses. The first 3 are about a blessed man. Blessed is the man. The last 3 of that same, there's 6 verses in that one. The last 3 of the same one talks about the wicked man. The ungodly shall not be so. And that was where we were going last night, heaven and hell. The godly and the ungodly. The righteous and the unrighteous. That's where I went to bed. But about 5 o'clock this morning, I woke up. And God said, that's another message for another day. You said, well, you're still in Psalm. Yeah, because I got to thinking. I got to praying. And God said, go here. So I went back to Psalm 1. And I said, Lord, it's gone. And then I started flipping through the pages, and there it was. God told me to preach on this morning. Miss Kay, I believe that. When he asked you to marry you, did you not have a period of waiting? You waited. When Jake asked Macy to marry her, there was a period of waiting, a year. When I asked her to marry me, there was a period of waiting. When I found out she was pregnant, there was a period of waiting. When I found out that Calvary had said, how about being our pastor? There was a period of waiting. Couldn't wait to get up here. Couldn't wait to get started. And you know what? I've changed now. I'm still waiting. You know what I'm waiting on? I'm waiting on a wife to come to her husband. I'm waiting on a van child to come and be saved. I'm waiting on different things now, Ryan. But you know what? My anxiety's not there. I don't worry about it. Preacher, they don't like you over there. That causes me no anguish. You said, well, I thought everybody likes to be thought highly of. The Bible said, beware of that when everybody speaks highly of. Ain't that something? Everybody's not going to like me. So I'm not really anxious about it. If y'all tell me today, Brother Gerald, if y'all get together and y'all got a posse in here, said, get off the hill. We just kicked you off the island. You know what? I'll go with my head held high and I'll say, God, show me the next vineyard. You said, then what? Brother Archie, how can a man preach with boldness and preach against fornication, ungodliness, the things that Brother Pope preached about yesterday? Brother, how can you preach that if you're timid about it? See, all the anxieties, all the anguish and stuff were swallowed up in the Almighty. And we're going to stand to our feet. We're going to have a baby dedication here in just a minute. But I want God to help somebody this morning. Miss Macy, you would only have to sing. Just come down here and just start playing something very softly on this piano.